For me, scripture memory has, in fact, paid greater dividends for the time spent than any other form of scripture intake. I don't mean to do it at the expense of other forms of scripture intake, such as study and reading, but I believe I can easily say that for me, it has paid greater dividends for the time spent than any other form of scripture intake. And so I'm happy to speak on it for that reason. And another reason is because I need it right now. It's tough. I used to preach, for instance, I think it's still true, to a degree, but not the degree I thought it was, that you can do your scripture memory and review in the odd moments. I seem to have a lot less odd moments than I used to have. And there aren't many waking hours in the day when your mind is not given to thinking time. So to me, it's definite, specific, set-aside time, and this is when I'm going to do it. Another reason we wanted to cover this is because we do, in fact, hope that you will leave here, if you're not already doing it, that you will leave here memorizing Scripture. Now, immediately we bring that subject up, we have a bunch of mental blocks, among which our memories are so poor. Well, I have a terrible memory, we'll say. Okay, join the club. All right, you fit. Now we're all together, okay? We all have poor memories. So that's the kind of people we're talking to. We're not talking to people with photographic memories. We're not talking to the people about whom it comes easy. We're talking to the people about whom it comes hard. You know something else we've discovered? The person, the rare person to whom it comes easy, is not very successful in getting other people to do it. He doesn't have the sympathy and even the know-how to help common folks like you and me. And you know something else? You can memorize. Really, you can. It's, in fact, if you could find your way from here to wherever your room is by yourself today, you can memorize. You know, Henry Link, the great psychologist, says you couldn't remember anything if you didn't forget nearly everything. I'm not really sure what he meant by that, but that's what he said. But have you ever thanked God for a forgetter? Yeah. You know, there are some things I wish I could forget that I can't. That's right, I'd be grateful for a forgetter. Now, I think it's a matter of interest, don't you? One of you men, you may be in the building business. You'll pick up the paper, and you'll see something about building prices, and maybe it'll give the percentage of rise or something. You'll remember that. I won't. I'm not in the building business, but you are. You remember that. You find something that interests you or that pertains to you or that strikes you in your personal life, you will remember it, won't you? So it's a matter of interest. Not only that, they tell us that all things being equal, the older we get, the better our memories and not the poorer. Your mouth dropped open there, Jack. Can you believe that? You're not sure about that. Jack, he's sure about that. Because our mind is essentially an associating machine, and the more experiences and facts and thoughts we have to which to tie a new thought, the better. In fact, they tell me that one of the problems of getting old is that you don't remember things so recent, you begin to remember things very clearly that happened way, 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 way back. So it was there, wasn't it? It was there. Well, just a couple minutes on this. We're supposed to go into detail on this in the discussion groups, but I wanted to do this lest you dismiss everything I have to say about why on the basis that I can't. Talking about Holland, I was in a nice little hotel over in Utrecht this spring, and I had a half day alone there, and so one thing I did, I rethought this thing through. In fact, I could show you my journal. Why do I, Lauren Sanney, private citizen, not navigator, but just me, why do I memorize Scripture? And I concluded that there are five basic reasons that motivate me to memorize Scripture. Others may have different reasons. And maybe not all these would motivate you, but they motivate me. And I thought I would share them with you. And the five, if you can see that over here, I just put down the key word of all five. Number one, deliverance. Two, victory. Three, prosperity. Four, guidance. And five, helping others. We'll talk about these for a moment. By deliverance, I mean deliverance from sin. Deliverance from sin. We all know Psalm 119:11, don't we? Okay, let's give it together. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. All right, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Come September, I will have been in the Lord's work full-time for 25 years and have gotten around a little bit during that time and have seen quite a few Christians and professing Christians. I have yet to see a Christian living a consistently victorious life who is not getting into the Word of God consistently. Have you? I haven't. Scripture. Deliverance from sin. Now, it doesn't say here that memorizing Scripture will keep you from being a sinner. Because immediately you could say, well, I know so-and-so, he can seem to quote Scripture by the reams, and he's living anything but a godly life. Well, it's a means to the end. It's that I might not sin. One of my favorite illustrations on this happened years ago when my older kids were little. We lived in California. One day I planted some pansy plants around a palm tree in our front yard. 85 plants, to be exact. I remember because I planted them in a certain design. And my two little kids, Tom and Bev, I don't know what the age, maybe 5 and 4 or thereabouts, were watching. The next day when I got home from work, my wife informed me that they had done some gardening in reverse. They had pulled up all 85 of my pansy plants. So I took them out to the scene of the damage, and there they were, wilted. What a mess. So I said to them, all right, now look, why did you pull up these flowers? And Beverly, who always did the talking for the two anyway, spoke up. She was the younger, and she said, well, Tommy and me, we just went down by the street, and then we just came back up here, we pulled up the flowers. Remarkable explanation, I thought. It didn't tell me one thing. So I thought, well, I don't know if they know for sure what they've done, but I like them to know hereafter. So I said, now look, you say this after me. I must not pull up the flowers. So Beverly.
I must not pull up the flowers.
Tommy. I must not pull up the flowers. So I took them to every flower bed around the place. I must not pull up the flowers. I must not pull up the flowers. I must not pull up the flowers. To get it in their little head, Daddy says, I must not pull up the flowers. So if their mother's up taking care of the baby and they're out tempted to do some more gardening in reverse, they're responding to Daddy's word, which is, I must not pull up the flowers, will keep them from transgressing, you might say, against their dad and getting the results that'll be sure to follow. Now, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I have it there. So then the Spirit of God called it to my remembrance. My response to it enables me to keep from sinning against God. I have to be honest and tell you that 3 or 4 days later, they did pull up the carnation. But you know, the Bible also says where the law is, there is a knowledge of sin. Well, they knew this time, and they haven't forgotten that since. To my knowledge, they pulled up no more flowers. Now the Word of God gives deliverance from sin. Scripture memory doesn't. But Scripture memory puts the Word into the heart. That's the point. Scripture memory puts it there where God can use it and where it can do its work. It puts the Word in the heart. The second reason is for victory over Satan. Now, we're well aware that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are involved in a spiritual warfare. And there is a real enemy, Satan. And the scripture says to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Ephesians 6:17. And of course in Matthew 4, the reference that I have noted here is where we have the story of the Lord Jesus using the sword of the Spirit against Satan when he was tempted in the wilderness. And when Satan came to him and tempted him, how did Jesus answer him?
With Scripture.
It is written. He used a saying from the Scriptures, from the Bible. Now, there are some people who have a little cute little saying. They said, don't take the text out of the context to make a pretext. In other words, don't memorize texts. Well, what are you going to do about the fact that Jesus Christ gave us an example, thoroughly reported in the New Testament, of taking texts of Scripture? Or the writer of the Hebrews took texts of Scripture. So don't let people shove you out of shape on this business. It is true. You can take the text out of the context. But that is no reason to let us push us off of the idea of memorizing some key texts. Someone has said, when dealing with the devil, don't argue, quote. That's what Jesus did. He quoted from Deuteronomy 8:3, and then he quoted again, and he quoted again. Now, scripture memory does not give victory over Satan. The scripture is the thing you use, but scripture memory puts the sword in your hand. That's what it does. It puts a saying. And you know in Ephesians 6:17 where it says, and take a sword of the Spirit, that means to take a saying. The Bible isn't the sword. The Bible is an armory with thousands of swords. And you're to take a saying, a sword, a saying, and use that. So scripture memory puts the sword in the hand. And it's one of the great strategic tricks of the devil to keep us from having the word in our hand where we can use it. You know, the Marine that goes out without his gun. The swordsman that goes out without his sword. Got to have it. Scripture memory puts it in the hand where you can use it. Over here, we talk about spiritual prosperity. I listened in on part of Jim Downing's talk yesterday morning on meditation. Psalm 1. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. Prosper. And thy law is my meditation all the day. Prosper. Spiritual prosperity. Now, scripture memory puts the food in your mouth. He was talking about rumination yesterday, or chewing the cud. Well, I suppose it depends on your background whether the illustration is appealing to you or not, but it puts the cud in your mouth. It puts something there to chew on. It puts something to ruminate on. Have you ever tried to meditate on that which you don't know? Extremely difficult and rather profitless too. But it puts it there where you've got it. A lot of times you see in our scripture, we're spending all our time trying to remember what it says, but if you've got it memorized, you can be thinking about the thought, and it sticks. You have it there all day long. Scripture memory, if I can use the term, puts the word in the heart, it puts the sword in the hand, and it puts the food in your mouth that you can chew it. You can ruminate, you can meditate on it, to the end that you might prosper spiritually. A fourth reason is for personal guidance. It keeps me on the track. Now, the scriptures do this, don't they? Psalm 37:31, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. None of his steps shall slide. Well, let me read a couple to you here from Psalm 119. Verse 24, for instance. Thy testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Now my job, and I'm sure you do in yours, occasionally you seek counsel. I seek a lot of counsel. I need it. Where do you go to get counsel? Well, This person may be skilled in finance management, and this one in personnel management, and this one in something else. But also what these are my counselors. Thy testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Again in verses 98 and 99 in the same psalm. Thy commandment makes me wiser than my enemies. Makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. But where does he get all that wisdom? Where does he get all that understanding? Right here. Thy testimonies are my meditation. Now, it helps to guide, direct. I'm trying to memorize Psalm 15 in the RSV. O Lord, who shall sojourn in thy tent? Who shall dwell on thy holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth from his heart. Well, the other Sunday morning, my wife was gone, California, and I was taking care of some of the younger kids, so we went to church. Well, I was kind of beat. Went Sunday school in church. We only live 4 blocks from church. I thought, man, you know, this morning I think I'd like to go home where it's quiet, and I'll just skip out after Sunday school. Well, I don't suppose the ground would have opened up and swallowed me had I done this. But I started out. Got a half block from church, and this scripture came to my mind. He who walks blamelessly and does what is right. Is this right? You insisted your daughter stay. Why aren't you staying? You're just a little beat. Can you survive an hour? I can survive an hour. So I turned around and went back. They gave me some personal guidance as to what to do. Have you ever fussed at your wife? That never happened in your family. Not in good Dutchman's family. But in German and English mixture like ours, you can have some trouble once in a while. And I remember one morning I woke up sulky, terrible attitude, grumpy, grouchy. Kind of left my wife with anything but a happy outlook on the day. And you know, after all, you know, one of the greatest helps if you want to be sulky is, you know, self-pity. That's one of the greatest things. And after all, I got a tough job and, you know, I'll just realize this a little bit. I got a few things on my mind. So I was riding along and I took out my memory pack, and the first one on top was 1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And it just smote me. Is that the way Jesus would have walked? So I stopped the car and got the nearest phone booth. Apologize, got that right. It got me back on the track. That gave me some personal guidance, practical personal guidance. I was made a member of the Wycliffe Bible Translator Board of Directors this year, and I was sitting out there for a week in board meetings. And I just memorized a verse and how it helped me, but it kept me on the track. Listen to this one. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Think that gave me any guidance for what to do as the first time I'm in a board meeting? Keep my big mouth shut. And try to understand before I express my opinion. And so that's Proverbs 18:2 in the RSV and all that. Ooh, don't memorize that one. That'll shut you up too much in board meetings. Now, so the Word of God gives me personal guidance, but I find that Scripture memory is like putting the flashlight on the pathway. See, I can have this over here, or I can have it in my bookshelf, but how is it helping me when I'm out of church, halfway, half a block headed for home? How is it helping me when I'm sitting in a board meeting? I'm not sitting there with my Bible out in front of me. How is it helping me when I'm driving the car down the street? It's like taking the flashlight out and you put a great big boulder in your road there, buddy. You better stop and get that taken care of. It gives light on my pathway. And so scripture memory brings it there where it can be brought to bear. That's what I'm trying to say. Well, there's a light way out there. There's a flashlight way out there at home. But what good is that doing you here? Scripture memory brings it here where you need it. And then finally, for helping others. For helping others. Let me just read to you Proverbs 22, 20 and 21. If not, I'll sort of give it to you in the King James here. I'm a little confused. I'm memorizing from a couple of versions here, and that's a little hard. Besides, I like the King James better here. Have not I written to you excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, and that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee? When people come to you for help, what are you going to answer? The words of truth. What God has to say. After all, it isn't what I think that makes so much difference. It's what God has to say. And it's amazing how some of these scriptures just go right to the heart of it. I remember one time a guy came to my office and he was telling me his tale of woe. And in essence it was this, that for 20 years he'd been nothing but a failure. He tried this and it didn't prosper. He tried that and he didn't prosper. He tried that and he didn't prosper. He's a failure. So after he talked for about 30 or 45 minutes, I said, let me share a verse of scripture with you. And so I just shared Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And he just fairly leaped. He said, where is that verse? Where is it? He said, I've been looking for 20 years for that verse. Well, he hadn't been looking for 20 years for that verse, but that's what he thought at the moment. That just opened up a whole vista to him. And it happened to be just the one he needed. I remember one time talking with a fellow on the streets of Los Angeles that I had met. He'd been in the Bible school with me. He'd been on a gospel team. And now he was anything but walking with God, playing his piano for a dance orchestra in a nightclub. And so he said, now look, he said, Lauren, but don't preach to me. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to this with my eyes wide open. Well, I said, okay, I won't preach to you. I said, but let me just, can I just quote you one verse of scripture? All right. I said, okay. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. Go ahead. Sow your wild oats. Sure. I mean, really live it out. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. 4 or 5 days later, I got a letter from him. He said, where did you get that verse? He said, it has been plaguing me night and day. Well, we've all had this experience. I remember being out in Norfolk, Virginia. Well, that's Ecclesiastes 11:9, in case you want that one. And I was kind of down, and the devil was just hitting me. And old C. Stevenson, our representative there, just gave me a few verses from 1 Peter 5. And it's just as though the whole fog just kind of lifted. Helping others. Charlie Riggs and Dan Pyatt and I were over in London, and Doug Sparks, and we carried the main brunt of some counseling classes. About 17,000 people a week came to these classes. And as we talk it over among ourselves, what do we have to say? Nothing much, really. What did we use? The scripture and a few personal illustrations. That's it. The Word of God, helping others. Boy, it goes right to the heart, huh? Well, so that puts the tool in the hand. You know, over in Nehemiah, it says that they had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. Well, I kind of think of scripture memory like that. It puts the sword in the hand for victory over Satan. It puts a tool in the other hand, too, for ministering and helping to others. And as I've said, it puts the word in the heart, puts the food in your mouth, and puts light on the road. That's a scripture memory will do. And even if you had a very tough time and you can only learn one verse a month, that'd be worth it. Wouldn't it? And besides, if you had to work on that verse 10 minutes a day, every day for 1 month, I'll tell you, by the end of that month, you really have something out of that verse. You could give a little sermonette on it. Be well worth the effort, wouldn't it? One of God's sermons? I'll say it'd be worth it. Let's have a word of prayer.